Amen. Well, it's so good and so refreshing to be back with you guys again as we resume our series on the great commandment of loving God and loving our neighbor called All In. All in with our heart, with our soul, our mind, and our strength. So, would you open your Bibles today to Mark chapter 12? Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. And in Mark's gospel, we're going to go through what it means to love God with all of our mind. All of our mind. And we're going to dive deep into what it means not to love God with most of our mind, not with some of our mind or a little of our mind, but to the whole capacity and the whole capability of our mind. Our intellect, our thoughts, our reasoning, that we're to love God with that. All right. And we're going to unpack what that really means. You know, it's been widely and falsely circulated. I don't know if you guys heard this before, that a couple years ago, I don't know why, because maybe it's because of internet or the interwebs, but they started saying that, oh, you know, us humans, we only use like 10% of our brains. Have you heard of that before? Yeah, that we only use like the capacity of, you know, 100%. We only use like 10% of our brain. Now, scientists and neuroimaging confirms that we practically use all of our brains, and that 10%, they debunked that myth and that fallacy a long time ago. But what if you could take a drug, like a pill, that would make you smarter and allow you to use 100% of your brain? Well, think no further. In 2011, there was a movie with a young Bradley Cooper called Limitless. Do you guys remember that movie? Yeah, so in that movie Limitless, his Bradley Cooper's character, he gets fired, he breaks up with his girlfriend, but he comes across this pill where it would allow him to use 100% of his brain capacity. And after taking this super drug, he writes a book within like one day. That's crazy, right? I mean, today we have ChatGPT, which could write a book for us. But anyways, he becomes a financial genius, and he seems to solve like every scenario, every potentiality. He could remember stuff when he was like in college, and theories and formulas and all these different things, because he was able to use 100% of his brain. But based on that fallacy, it's kind of cool to think about, like, man, what would it look like to use like 100% capacity of our brain? Like, what does it mean to love God with all of our mind? I mean, what does that practically look like for me and for you? Like right now, it's, you know, Sunday, October 22nd, 2023. What does that look like for us? What does it mean? Does that mean that, does loving your God with all of your mind mean that we're all to become Bible scholars and New Test and theologians and pastors and teachers? I mean, do we quit our jobs and we learn and we go to Bible school and we learn biblical languages like Hebrew, Aramaic? Do we learn Koine Greek? Do we learn Semitic languages and get our master's and PhDs in Ugaritic and Akkadian and specialize in like a biblical or theological field? I mean, do we just go into the mountains and read all day? What does it mean to love God with all of our mind? So let's get into a word in Mark chapter 12 and unpack what that means and how we might love God with all of our mind. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is," remember the great Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Verse 30. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. And so, Father, we, Lord, right now, we do want to love you thoughtfully with all of our mind. Lord, we just don't want to compartmentalize our lives and, hear the word of God, meditate on it, and hear the message, and not think about you for the rest of the 6 days. We just don't want to read our Bibles in the morning, door devotions, and not give a thought of you for the rest of the day. Lord, we want to be a people, Lord God, holistically, because you've changed, because you've rescued, because you've saved, because you've delivered every aspect of our lives, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, Lord. We want to love you in these areas. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, our society, we value the mind. We care about intellect, reason, logic, and the ability to discover and learn knowledge. I think, especially here in Hawaii, where we have a big Asian influence, and I could speak for myself, but even having that immigrant mentality that my parents, I'm second generation, we were immigrated here from Philippines in 1988. So now, excuse me, now we have to use our brain, and we have to go to school and get a good college education. And Pacific Business News Week or Pacific Business News, they actually published an article that the zip code 96821, which is pretty much from Wailaiki to Kuleo'o, 96821, that this zip code is not only the richest, the most affluent, but it is also the most educated zip code in the whole state of Hawaii, of all the islands, right? All the zip codes, 96821, it is the most educated. It's not Kahala 96816, it's not Hawaii Kai 96825. But in our community here, if we're honest, I think the affluent part, the Hawaii Lower Ridge people, kind of bumped us up and brought us up, and they looked down on the peasants here trying to make it here. But besides that, like our culture, we value being smart. You know, even when we raise our children, you know, oh, you're so smart. And we champion intellect and smartness, and we overlook being kind and being humble. However, at times, the love of the mind, it seems to come under fire within the Christian faith. For example, we might think religion is about feelings and it isn't rational like science or math. And this leaves skeptics holding to a view of Christianity that lacks knowledge and allows Christians to just kind of skate away with this idea that, hey, it's all about faith, and faith is a feeling, but it doesn't have, it's very subjective, but there's no objective truth or propositional truth. But we must remember the holistic aspect of the Great Commandment, which is our heart. Right, remember the lave, which is basically how we live our lives, our soul, our psuche, right? And what that means, the nefesh, our affections, our will. And today we're going to talk about loving God with our mind. And Mark chapter 12, verse 30, the greatest commandment, with emphasizing loving God with the mind. And loving God with a mind, in Greek there, it's the word dianoia, which means the mind as the faculty of understanding, feeling, and desiring. So the mind is the faculty of understanding, of feeling, that mind feels, and it's also the mind desires. And the aspect of feeling and desire, when describing the mind, it can come very foreign to us. Like, that's weird because we think the mind thinks and the heart feels. But biblically, that's not how they viewed the mind. Ancient writers, they realized the integration of each area of life. Now, to be perfectly fair and to be perfectly clear, the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:5, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," which Jesus quotes. It's loving God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. Mind is not actually included on there, but Mark's gospel, he includes that Jesus says to love God with all of our mind. So the Hebrews, they view the heart, soul, and strength of a person as having the ability to gain knowledge and to think. So, for example, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the biblical writers, they believe that the human heart was more holistic. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So for Paul, understanding the holistic view of the Bible, the heart can believe. The heart just doesn't feel that in your heart you can be saved because the heart believes. But all that to say, you guys, is that here's the main point for us. So what does it mean to love God with all of our minds? To love God with all of our minds means that we are to love Him with all of our thoughts, our knowledge, and our intellect. We're to love God with our thoughts, our knowledge, and also our intellect. Because the mind is a place of worship. I mean, throughout Paul's letters, he emphasizes the importance of the renewal of the mind and seeking truth and understanding. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, it says that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's the mind has a spirit of longing, desires, and the mind has a spirit of wanting to gain truth. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. So be sure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul's prayer is that, hey, that our love would grow more and more, not just our feelings, but it says that our love may abound with knowledge and discernment. That our love would inform, our love would have almost like an intellect and a knowledge, and it would have discernment so that we would know and approve what God's will is. So, why does that matter? Why does that matter? Why is it relevant? Well, I have three reasons for us this morning why loving God with all of our minds is important. The first is this: your mind is a temple for worship. Love God thoughtfully. Why should we love God with our minds? Because your mind, my mind, is a temple. It is an altar for worship unto God. And because our mind is a temple for worship, we must love God thoughtfully. Okay? Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So we're to present our bodies, including our mind, our bodies, we're to offer it to God. And Paul says, this is your spiritual worship. Offering your mind unto God is a worship unto the Lord. Now, there are very few things as lifeless and depressing and life-sucking as a mindless and thoughtless life. What do I mean by that? I mean going through the motion of life. Clocking in, clocking out, driving to work, commuting back, picking up the kids, dropping them off, bringing them to soccer, going home, preparing dinner, watching TV, going to bed, rinse, repeat, and you just kind of go through the motions of life. It's this life where it's very perfunctory, it's very mundane, like life is almost at a cruise control that you don't think about what you're doing. There's no thought or significance to what we're doing. You know, Socrates says that unexamined life is not worth living, where we just kind of, we're not necessarily, we're alive, but we're not living life. Do you guys know what I mean? That there's no purpose, there's no direction, there's no depth, there's no substance in our existence. It's like we're just going to auto mode. You know, I had a friend in Bible college one time, Friday night, late in, lived in campus, and he was going to visit his parents back from San Dimas to Bakersfield, which is about a 3 hour, 4 hour drive. And it was late at night. He just had all day school. He went to work and then he got off around 9 o'clock from his job, and he was gonna drive 4 more hours to drive to his work or to his parents' house, to his hometown. Anyways, make the long story short, about 11 o'clock, he's like, "Man, I'm so sleepy. This is dangerous." You know, hitting those rumble strips, and he was falling asleep. He goes, "You know, I just need to pull over and just snooze and for a couple minutes, maybe 30 minutes, until, you know, I just get out of this thing." And all of a sudden he woke up, and when he woke up, he was in his bed at home. So for 3 hours, this dude at 1 in the morning, somehow, some way, he just went on autopilot and just kind of cruised and drove home mindlessly on his way to his parents' house. Like, have you ever talked to somebody, maybe discussion, talking with their kids, or maybe talking with a coworker or talking with their spouse, and they're just on the phone the whole time, and they're like, and you're talking, and they're like, "Oh, what'd you say?" And you're pouring your heart, you're just, you know, wanting to engage and have dialogue, and they're just kind of going through it, and there's no feedback, there's nothing, they're not paying attention, they're just kind of going through their phones. Listen, you guys, we live in such a compartmentalized world. We live in such compartmentalized lives, and we jump into different modes. We go to church on Sunday for 1 hour and 15 minutes, and maybe we don't think about God ever again for the next 6 days. We open our Bibles, and after that, after Sunday, if you don't do your devotions and spend time in God's Word, you're not hearing from God again. Our thought life is worship unto God. And if we're to love God with all of our minds, we're to love God thoughtfully. We're to consider God every hour of the day, every moment by moment. We're to actively engage and be present with God, who is everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, omnipotent. And you know, it's so easy just to go through life, just to live our lives and be very perfunctory and just kind of go through the motions and not give thought to purpose and depth and substance. Like I mentioned before, a couple of weeks ago, that you know, I've been doing a lot of driving because Renee's been working full time, and so I've been picking up the kids. And it's so easy just to get the kids and have them be on their phones, and me listen to ESPN First Take on YouTube, and or listen to podcasts, and listen to music, and just kind of tune them out and just kind of do my thing and go to auto mode. But I made a rule. It's like, "Hey guys, when we're in the car, no phones. Everybody off your phones. I'll be off my phone, even red light. I'm not gonna check my texts or emails or anything like that. But let's just, you know, on the way to work, we pray. Or in the way to school, when I drop them off, I have each one of the kids pray, and I pray for them, and we connect and we think about God. We depend on God. We lean not in our own understanding, but we acknowledge Him in all our ways, and that He would direct our path." And then when I pick them up, It's so easy just to like, hey, how was your day? Good. Okay, cool. How was your day? Okay, good. There's like, it was good. It was good. And just kind of go through it. But it's like, hey, can you tell me what was the most exciting part of your day? Can you describe what happened? And we just go through and we connect with them. Every Friday, after a long week of school and the kids give their best and their homework and everything, they've had a good attitude. We have the Sabbath delight, like, hey, every Friday, like, guys, what do you want to eat? Right? And they usually, oh, McDonald's or whatever. And there's times I had a meeting in town and, in Baritania or whatever, and I would bring home when I pick up the kids, when I pick them up, I would bring them Chick-fil-A. Like, oh, Dad, thank you so much. Or like, I'm thinking thoughtfully of how to love my children. Because I could go through the motions, but I could love them with my actions, right? I could love them with my heart, with my feelings. I could love them with my life. And I could will, right, with my heart, with my volition, but to think in a way and to love them that they feel loved. Even with my son Judah, he works at the YMCA as a lifeguard. So right after work, right after school, I pick him up and I drop him off at work. And I pick up Ezra and then Judah and Noah, and then I go through Cocoa Head and Kaiser High School. And when I pick up Judah, I usually have a drink for him. I have his lunch so he could go to work, and I get them boba, you know what I mean? And just kind of just to be thoughtful of what would bless them, what would just win their hearts, what would be a way to that they feel loved by God, by their father, but also by their heavenly father. You know what I mean? And just be thoughtful in loving, be thoughtful. And so here's our action point number one. Would you write this in? Is spend 5 minutes every day in silence and solitude before God. Love God with all your mind. And so we're to love God thoughtfully. So this week, just spend 5 minutes every day in silence before God. And engage your mind to be present before God and to love God thoughtfully. So when you wake up, the first thing, when the alarm goes off, you shouldn't reach for the phone and just go through and go through Instagram and go through the news and go check your favorite websites, ESPN, right? It's not to doom scroll and waste away 30, 45 minutes of your day, an hour, 2 hours of your day just doom scrolling. But you wake up this week, love God with all your mind, love God thoughtfully. You wake up, get on your knees before the Lord this week, spend 5 minutes just in silence. The word says, be still and know that He is God. Be aware of your breathing, that your breath comes from God. And just be thoughtful and just in gratitude. Think about all the prayers that God has answered. Think about how God has rescued you and redeemed you. Think how much God has provided. Think about the blessings that you have. Meditate, contemplate before God, and think. Be thoughtful in your relationship with God. Turn off the radio when you're driving this week, right? Turn off the podcast, turn off the YouTube, turn off ESPN First Take, and love God with your mind. Be present and be still and know that He is God. Hey, listen, you guys, there's 1,140 minutes in 1 day. Could you just spend 5 minutes? Don't compartmentalize God, but really just spend 5 minutes before God in silence and solitude, and just be develop an awareness of His presence, and love God thoughtfully, right? Number two, would you write this in? Your mind is a center for transformation. Therefore, meditate on God's word and be renewed. Your mind is a center for transformation. Meditate on God's word and be renewed. For this, we'll turn to verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, your mind right now, it is the center of transformation. Remember Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk according to the counsel of the godly, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, nor stand in the way of sinners, but what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in God's word. And in his law, he what? He meditates, he chews, he marinates day and night. Let me be very clear here this morning. There are some things Jesus says that can only come out through prayer and fasting. There's like deliverance that could only come out instantly by praying, or fasting. There could be healing. There could be supernatural breakthrough, demonic possession. Like God could do crazy things through prayer and fasting. And these are all breakthrough and deliverance. But deep transformation, life-changing transformation, because you could be healed, you could be delivered, but you were not transformed. See, Romans 12, 2 says that we're transformed when our mind is renewed, when our thoughts and faculties, when we think and we meditate and we preach the gospel to ourselves, in our mind, that we're transformed when our mind is renewed. The word transformed there is the Greek word metamorphao, where we get the word metamorphosis. And the word picture is from a caterpillar. It metamorphoses, metamorphao into what? A butterfly. And the only way that we could grow in maturity and we can grow in our relationship with God so that there's transformation is when we meditate and we obey the word of God. Deep transformation can only come when our minds are renewed by the word of God. You know, when I was in Bible college, there were some habitual sins in my life that I prayed, I had spiritual retreats, I fasted, but there were just some sins and some vices in my life, that habitual sins that I just could not break, that there was just more defeats than victory, that there was no, that certain areas in my life had mastery and control over me. And it wasn't until I took a class in Romans and we learned that that we are dead to sin and alive to Christ. And not until I came to this epiphany that, hey, I'm dead to sin. Once something is dead, it's dead. A thing that's dead, it cannot respond to any outside stimulus. And Romans 4 is like, hey, I am dead to sin. My old life, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And now I've been resurrected, and I identify in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that when Jesus died on the cross, and when I got baptized, I associate, I put myself, that I died to my old ways, I died to my old vices, I died to my old habits, I died to my old appetites, my old lifestyle. And when I was raised to a new life. And it wasn't until then, when my mind was renewed and I meditated on the Word of God, that transformation happened, that deep healing, that deep metamorphosis happened when I offered myself unto God and I let my mind be renewed by the power of His word, the sword of the Spirit, that there was transformation. And so here's action point number 2, and we'll close with this. There's one more. You have to go to in-person service, but Number two is meditate on Romans 12, 1 through 2, and commit it to memory. So meditate on Romans 12, 1 through 2, and commit it into memory. So meditate, saturate, marinate, think deeply on the Word of God, preach it to yourself, and commit it into memory. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but maybe you had a computer or maybe your phone where some programs weren't working or just became super glitchy, super buggy. And my wife usually is like, "Oh, how come my browser isn't working and this, or my app isn't working?" I was like, "Oh, can you fix it?" And all I had to do, the IT guys at your work, all they do is restart or refresh. Turn off your computer, shut it down, and restart it. And sometimes we get into this spiritual rut and we get stuck. You could get unstuck when you restart or you renew it. So Romans 12, 1, 2, memorize it. I appeal, therefore, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will test what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. Commit it to your memory. And this is how you and I will be changed. So, loving God with all of our mind, love God thoughtfully. Think about him. Consider him in your days. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Pray without ceasing. And also, preach the gospel to yourself. Meditate on the word of God. Engage your mind and be transformed by the power of his word. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. And we ask, O Lord God, for just a deep transformation, a deep work in your people. Lord, we thank you, God, that we could love you with the whole totality of our being. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that there would be change, that there would be transformation in the lives of your people. Lord, since we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, that there will be genuine change. And so, Lord, I pray that we would love you with every fiber of our being, from the essence of who we are. Holistically, Lord, with our heart, soul, our mind, and our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace. Go with God, and God will go with you. Love you guys.